is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
He seemed to really drop off the radar in recent weeks, this suspected shooter of the healthcare CEO. More on him, what they found in his backpack. We got a new inflation report, but first, back to the fire in Malibu.
Yeah, we're going to get an update soon at 8 o'clock this morning from fire officials. The Franklin Fire, Malibu, still threatening homes. They are getting some containment now. John Baird live in Malibu with the latest.
This fire is 7% contained. That's the good news so far. And they're still hitting the flames from the air with helicopters. They've been doing that, I think, all night long. I've watched them take off for Pepperdine, where they're refueling, filling up their water tanks. And then coming to the north, this is where the fire is active. We had some pretty heavy flames up there earlier. We're just still seeing a lot of smoke. A helicopter just swooped in a minute ago to knock out some of those flames. But we got fire trucks just screaming up PCH this morning on the way to the fire lines. So they're trying to make as much progress as they can. The winds are certainly less than yesterday, but it is still windy and will be for a couple of hours. Here's the thing. I'm at Malibu Seafood, which is right next to the head of a hiking trail. They've got a bunch of fire trucks here in the parking lot. And the co-owner, John Christensen, said he's ready to feed these guys. When he left here last night, everything was fine, and this fire then moved right down the hill right next to them, and they put it out.
We're happy they're all here. We feel pretty safe at the moment. Got 10 fire trucks here and just a few little smolders on the hill. So, yeah, you know, this place has got 9 lives. We've survived every fire. I don't know how.
And he's got clam chowder on the stove for all these firefighters if they want it. He told me they had a fire tornado roll through here during the Woolsey fire and caused a lot of damage, but they've survived every fire, as he said. In the meantime, fire crews still trying to knock this thing down, get the containment line farther around it, and they should have help from the wind when it dies down later in the afternoon today.
All right, John, thanks. 4,000 acres out there. We love Malibu Seafood. L.A. County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath says she and the other officials hearing from people in Malibu impacted by the fire.
So they're communicating with us what their needs are, and we are trying to bring them, whether it's the enhanced relationship from Verizon that came in through the city to bring more cell service, or some of the generators that have come through Caltrans to keep main intersections active and keep people safe on the road. You know, there's a lot of partnership that has come, and so when they call us to let us know what they need, we do our best to respond with what they need on the ground, and we're going to continue to do that to the best of our ability.
We got the county and state declaring the emergencies. It makes it easier for the extra resources to fight the fire and better help afterwards.
Prosecutor is going to have to work a little harder to get the man accused of killing that United Healthcare CEO, getting him back to New York. The defense attorney representing Luigi Mangione says he sees no evidence linking his client to the killing, and he doesn't want the extradition. He says a lot of guns look the same. We talked about it with CBS News correspondent Lilia Luciano, who's following the case in Pennsylvania, where the guy was arrested.
For all of us who've been covering or paying attention to what was a 6-day manhunt, it was interesting to see him react to when they were talking about evidence. Only one moment did he kind of object, and did so verbally, speaking into his defense attorney's microphone when they were talking about masks as something to show that he was a fugitive, that he was wearing masks, or, you know, that the masks matched the masks on the video. He jumped in and said, "I just bought the mask."
Yeah, and she says that Mangione's lawyer quickly stopped him from talking. Don't want the client talking. There's more info, by the way, about his capture at that McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He was apparently sitting alone at a table with a computer, a laptop, and a backpack, eating a hash brown when cops took him into custody.
Man was killed in a police shootout near the 5 in Buena Park yesterday afternoon. Two officers went out to the 91 and the 5 interchange. Got reports of a man who was possibly armed walking in the freeway lanes. A sergeant with the PD in Buena Park says one of the officers opened fire. Says he doesn't know what led up to this. Couldn't confirm whether or not that man was actually armed. He was taken to the hospital where he died. To Buena Park Police, the DOJ investigating. If you saw any of this, they'd like you to call it in. Winds are getting better today. Here's the Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic.
The winds have backed off, but humidity is still pretty low and very low for this time of year, about 5 to 15%. So some recovery coming as we go through later in the week, but still red flag warnings up. Not much relief for the Franklin Fire in Malibu as we'll continue to have gusty winds, but below advisory criteria. So that's some good news. Critical fire weather conditions will continue at least through today. And then again, as I mentioned, maybe a little increasing humidity later in the week and the chance of maybe some light rain in some spots, especially to the north. Meteorologist Ray Stajic, the Weather Channel, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Ozeron Law, the injured workers hotline. Still dealing with inflation issues, the latest to consumer price index, the CPI report shows the rate in November 2.7%, so it's over the 2% the Fed likes, but sort of what the markets were expecting, so maybe not all bad. With this report, we've got more now with Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief of Investopedia.com.
Hi, Caleb. Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Some things got more expensive. Others got a little bit cheaper. Hit the high points for us.
Yeah, the high points is that inflation is not really going up, but it's really stuck in this 2.5 to 3% range, 2.7% on an annual basis. If you strip out food and energy, it's 3.3% higher than the Federal Reserve wants. But you're looking at shelter prices, which really drove a lot of the increases and some food prices. The relief was in gas prices, which keep going lower. I know you don't feel it out there so much, but across the rest of the country, gas prices are fairly low, and that makes people a little bit more emboldened to spend here. Still, sticky high. We're kind of, you know, don't expect prices to go down, but they're higher than the Fed wants. The Fed meets next week on interest rates, and this probably will embolden them to cut a quarter point, last cut of the year.
Okay, so yeah, do this one, and then maybe people are thinking, okay, but skip the next one after that. I mean, where are we with that kind of stuff with the Fed?
Yeah, there's talk that the Fed might skip the cut in January. Remember, the new presidential administration will be coming in at that point. For now, it looks like Fed Chair Powell's job is safe, but I think they're going to want to get their footing and see how that transition goes. Plus, we've had a little creep up in unemployment as of the last labor market report, 4.2% up from 4.1%. Not nuts, not too high, but still higher than the Fed wants. Full employment's between 3.5 and 4%. The Fed is trying to juggle this, keep bringing inflation to a more moderate rate and keep the nation's labor market in full gear right here. And so far, so good in terms of economic growth. But this notion that we're going to get higher tariffs in the next year or two is going to slow growth. It's going to produce inflation again. So we're in this tricky spot, but expect a cut next week.
You know where we feel it? We always talk about it at the grocery store, right? And I'm looking at a list that talks about an increase for eggs and chicken and meat, non-alcoholic beverages. We know a lot of people are digging into those recently. But cereal apparently is down. And you mentioned tariffs. So what is any of that going to do anything to us again at the grocery store? Is it ever going to get better at the grocery store?
Yeah, well, grocery store prices are really about supply, demand, and egg prices have been kind of all over the place the last couple of years, but it really has to do with supply, again, and demand, high demand this time of season. The tariffs are not targeted at the staples that we produce here in this country. They're targeted at imports like steel, like aluminum, like syringes that we get from China, even chips, which are a big component of everything we build these days. So we're not going to feel that at the grocery store. We're going to feel it in potentially in home building costs, potentially in costs at the retailers where we buy things that are imported from outside this country. Still, we have to see what happens. There's threats of tariffs, and then there's actually implementing tariffs, and there's already over $300 billion worth of tariffs on products coming from outside this country right now.
Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief, Investopedia.com. Thanks so much.
Donald Trump's cabinet picks continue to make their case on Capitol Hill, and another high-profile athlete's home has been burglarized. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Yeah, they're looking for those votes from the senators, the cabinet nominees. The CBS News correspondent Ed O'Keefe following the latest on the picks, including that choice for defense secretary.
Other nominees making rounds on Capitol Hill, Pam Bondi, Trump's choice to be attorney general. Kash Patel, the pick to lead the FBI. Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor and Trump's choice for Homeland Security Secretary.
I'll work with him to get his vision accomplished.
And Tulsi Gabbard, his pick for Director of National Intelligence.
I'm honored to have been invited to be a part of the team.
And a familiar, loyal member of the Trump orbit is poised to head overseas.
The best is yet to come!
Kimberly Guilfoyle, a top surrogate who is dating Donald Trump Jr., was nominated to be ambassador to Greece.
Also picked Andrew Ferguson, next chair of the Federal Trade Commission, already one of the five commissioners.
The man who Representative Nancy Mace claims accosted her has been arrested. The Republican from South Carolina posted on X, quote, "I was physically accosted tonight on Capitol grounds over my fight to protect women. Capitol Police have arrested him. Investigators confirm they have arrested a person accused of assaulting a lawmaker. The suspect is a man from Illinois. He faces a charge of assaulting a government official." Mace, who has been at the center of a controversy after introducing a bill that bans transgender women from using women's restrooms on Capitol Hill.
World's watching to see what happens in Syria after the overthrow of the Assad regime. CBS correspondent Cammy McCormick says Iran is paying really close attention.
In Iran, the Supreme Leader told crowds he has evidence that the U.S. and Israel planned the takeover in Syria, something the U.S. denies. Biden administration officials have been watching the developments closely. Israel continues heavy airstrikes across Syria, and its troops are advancing deeper into the country. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We ultimately want to see a peaceful process forward, not an escalation of the conflict.
Israel has denied it's advancing on the Syrian capital of Damascus.
Palestinian medics say women and children are among the dead after an Israeli airstrike on a house in Gaza. Here's reporter Linda Gradstein.
Palestinian officials said dozens of Palestinians were killed in Israeli airstrikes Tuesday, including more than 20 members of one family in the Nusayrat refugee camp. The Israeli army said it is investigating. Meanwhile, Israeli officials say there is new movement for a Gaza ceasefire and the release of the 100 hostages Hamas is still holding in Gaza. Israeli security chiefs met senior Egyptian officials in Cairo Tuesday, and Hamas reportedly handed over a list of hostages who are still alive.
The Israeli military says it launched a strike targeting Hamas militants and claimed the number of people killed, reported by the Palestinian medics, is inaccurate.
South Korean police say some security guards stopped a raid on the president's offices while they were investigating his martial law order. The opposition accuses his staff of illegally protecting an insurrectionist. Here's a BBC reporter following it all.
It could lead to his arrest, but this, again, is a complicated constitutional issue. South Korean presidents generally have immunity from criminal prosecutions, but not in the case of insurrection or mutiny or treason. The kind of charges and accusations President Yoon Suk-yeol is facing right at the moment. So there is a possibility that he could be arrested. And indeed, in Parliament, an anti-corruption investigator confirmed that he was willing to arrest the president.
Former defense minister who took responsibility for declaring martial law. They got him. He was arrested yesterday, becoming the first government official to be formally detained.
Police are investigating yet another break-in at a pro athlete's house. This time it happened at the home of Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow while he was away playing a game. Latest in a series of burglaries got the attention of federal investigators. Here's CBS Morning co-host Nate Burleson explaining.
After break-ins at NBA star Bobby Portis's home and the home of Mike Conley Jr., both leagues warned players to take extra precautions, telling them thieves appear to be gathering details about their homes, belongings, and whereabouts from social media. Last month, sources told CBS News the FBI is investigating high-profile incidents are connected and if a trans-international crime ring is behind the burglaries.
The homes of Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were broken into in October.
So I'm reading this thing that Peter Greenberg sent us. It said, "Are you a frequent flyer?" And I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. It says, "Are you still chasing miles trying to achieve elite status?" And I thought, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then it says, "Are you wondering what many are wondering? Is it worth it anymore?" And I'm like, yeah. So let's talk to Peter Greenberg now, our KNX travel editor from the Rock of Gibraltar today.
So, Peter, it's funny that Mike started that way because I thought, well, gosh, I'm 53B in the back of the plane. So this is not me, that elite status. But right over there, Mr. Simpson, he's chasing it.
But what do I get with it anymore?
Yeah, what do
not we, as much as I used to. I can tell you that.
He wants it, Peter. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is everybody wants that elite status. And one of the reasons why they want it is because up until recently, it meant you stood a pretty good chance of getting an upgrade, a complimentary upgrade on your flights based on that status. And at this time of the year, a lot of airlines are doing what they call a status match. So if you're gold or platinum on one airline, another airline will match that for you as long as you fly them starting for about 3 months and see if you can maintain that status. All sounds great, except for one small detail. And I'll go back in time to tell you. 13 years ago, Delta Airlines only sold 14% of their first class seats. So the odds of getting an upgrade were pretty good. You know what it is today? It's 88% of those seats are sold by Delta, which means even if you're like the highest tier person in Diamond Medallion status, you're standing by with 45 other people for a seat that may not even exist. And the same thing applies at American Airlines. In fact, they're telling their customers now, if you want to get an upgrade, you'll have to use mileage to get it, even if you are an elite flyer. So the definition of the days of being a truly elite flyer may be ending.
Yeah, so what do I do with that? Rather than spending my thousands of dollars to, you know, hit gold or hit platinum on one of these things, should I just, like, put that into a cashback card? Or should I roll it all into a card that gives me points or something so I can now play that game and use those? I mean, if I'm wasting all my money doing the other thing?
Well, either a cashback card or a card that tells you points, and then the points are used to literally buy you a regular full fare ticket. That's the way you want to go, because that's a tangible asset you can actually get your arms around and use. The days of a credit card that gives you 1 mile per dollar spent affiliated to one particular airline program is not the most efficient way to use your miles.
You know, the Canadians seem so nice, but Air Canada, what's going on? Charging for carry-ons, and is that going to spread like wildfire?
Well, you know, I've always said it. I've probably said it with you guys before. Friends don't let friends fly basic economy. And, you know, you have no rights. You're everything short of being a member of the witness relocation program because you can't pick your seat. You can't check a bag without paying for it. You get no miles in many cases, and you're in boarding group 9. I mean, it's a total insult. Well, what Air Canada has done now is gone one step further and saying, if you're flying basic economy with them, you don't even get a carry-on bag. You only get a personal item, such as a small handbag. Any bag with wheels or rollers, you'll get hit from anywhere from $25 to $36 additional. And if you don't register that bag online before you get to the airport, they'll charge you $46. Now, here's the rub. If you just go to the next fare category on most airlines, Air Canada or anybody else, for $30 more, you're flying in main cabin. You're not in basic economy. You get to pick your seat.
What's that episode of Friends where Joey wears all the clothes? Just wear all the clothes, and then you don't have to pack a bag at all. It's easy. KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg from Gibraltar this morning.